thought we could talk a little bit about sexual health and students and like what can we do, how do you campaign about it. And we've got a couple of representatives. We've got Sammy Wannell from the Students' Union, who's a welfare officer, and we've also got Jason Crawford from Concordia University in Montreal. So he's flown a long way to be at this discussion. So hopefully it'd be quite interesting to see the differences and the similarities between maybe like East Coast Canadian University and the conservative Warwick University. And we're also joined by Francesca Doggett. Is that the best way to pronounce it? Yeah. And she might be chipping in every now and again if she can think of stuff to say. Aren't we all chipping? Okay, yeah, so I don't know if you just want to talk a bit about what you think the general perspective is with Concordia University. Like, how does your campus see sexual health? Like, are they really open to it? Like, what's the kind of attitudes that you know?
Well, our health services, which is our on-campus medical care, provides weekly. They have in our sort of a student union building, they have condom distribution every day of
in the
open public space. So students are passing by. Someone is always there with a huge box of colorful condoms of all different shapes, sizes, colors, flavors, and then STI pamphlets and HIV pamphlets. Students can get tested at the health services center. It's completely free. It's part of their health plan there. So they can get STI screenings, HIV testing. They have psychological counseling available as well for students who maybe need to have some of that prior or post testing. So there's that physical presence in the student union all the time. Unfortunately, most students just sort of pass by and don't really look. Once a year, there's a huge sort of sexual health awareness campaign. So it lasts, I think, 2-3 weeks. There's all kinds of activities, but there's really much more concentrated at that booth. So that booth sort of suddenly, from one person sitting there reading a book to several people and all kinds of activities, and they actually go out and start passing out condoms. People laugh and joke about it. It's funny. It makes people a little nervous, but they always run out of condoms. So people always take them, which is really great.
I mean, who organizes that?
It's the health services department. So they do that. The course that I teach is a course on HIV/AIDS, and it's a two-term course. So they're there from the beginning of September to the end of March, beginning of April. And all the students do an internship in an AIDS service organization in Montreal area as part of their coursework. And some students get to work at the health services center on campus as part of their internship. So a lot of them get involved in campaigns, and they have students who come with ideas and they propose them to health services, and they often take them up. So sometimes there's performances, there's parties, those kinds of things where sexual health information is there. I remember a couple of years ago, they printed up cocktail napkins with sexual health information on the cocktail napkins, so that you would sort of be surrounded by information and statistics and information on how to access sexual health services on campus and in the city. So that was a really sort of interesting and fun way of making it like just so present there. Some of the controversies are around our queer students who are really much more politically radical and would really like to see much more political demonstrations, really have policy changes at the university administrative level. And so they sort of feel that these kinds of things are very passive. Just standing there with condoms is not enough, that there needs to be more information, there needs to be more fora for conversation, and they end up holding these big sessions, and only the queer students who are politically engaged ever come. So there's that frustration that no one's coming to our meetings and no one's talking, but there's also, I think, a lack of the awareness that these things are difficult to talk about, and people don't really feel that comfortable sitting there in a room with people they don't know talking about their vaginas and their penises, mm-hmm. or the last time that they got fucked, what did they do, and how did they feel. That's really difficult. So I think that's one reason why our course is really great, is because it allows that over time.
Makes it a bit more official, doesn't it, as well, that like you're legitimized to kind of talk about it.
And there's a form, and it's a protected form. Like, what we talk about in our classrooms doesn't go beyond the classroom. And after a few weeks of being there, students begin to open up and share and learn. So I think that there's that sort of vision that people would do that anyway if we just hold a meeting. At Wednesday at 3 o'clock, strangers from all over the campus would come in and share their sexual experiences and talk, and that's not going to happen. So there needs to be an awareness of how we can sort of
bridge that gap
around getting information out there, and also trying to create fora, because people, you know, will talk, but they're the ones who talk like that anyway. You know? You have to sort of realize that not everyone talks about their sexual adventures as freely. That's one of the things. The other thing that we had last year was in the Sexual Health Week, when they were doing some much more in-your-face aggressive condom shoving, you know, a lot of Muslim students were very offended. We have a lot of international students on our campus, so this is probably the first, one of the few first experiences they've had in a Western country where this was just so free and there, and several of them sort of approached some students and said that this is wrong, this is offensive, you shouldn't be doing this. And their response was, well, you know, if you don't want condoms and if you don't think that they're right or anything like that, you don't have to take them. But there are lots of people who want them and lots of people who need to know about this. So we're not doing it to offend anyone, we're just here to provide education. And they just sort of shrugged their shoulders and walked away. But it was really eye-opening for some students because they never thought that anyone would be offended by condoms. They might be, you know, embarrassed, but not offended, and really to see it as something that should not be happening. They were really shocked about that. So they began to sort of think about how to negotiate the differences of over morality and cultural backgrounds around how people come to sexual health, which I thought was a really good learning experience.
You've touched on, like, so many different points already. Like, and I think if we go back to them and kind of do, like, a contrasting thing, Sam, if you wanted to talk about, like, the health center, like, you know what I mean? Like, cause you were saying how prominent your kind of health service is, and, you know, even if it is, like, a passive kind of, you know, like, table with stalls, you know, that kind of idea, that's really bad. Like, that's way better than what we've got at the moment, where they're kind of tucked away in the toilets, aren't they?
Our health center, run by the National Health Service, does sexual health screenings, but only if you seem to be a person to them at risk. As in, if you think there's a specific reason why you would have a sexually transmitted infection. If you don't, they refer you to one of the, like, to the centre in Coventry, which does a lot of the testing, which is like a 15, 20 minute bus ride away. Right. Students don't really know where it is. Even though they give you a map, students are generally a lot less willing to do it. And also, any of the tests you do there get put on your medical record, which some people have, like, understandable reservations about, given the, like, still prevalent taboos in society around sexually transmitted infections. So what we started doing this year, which we trialled a couple of times last year, was getting a drop-in clinic on campus, which comes twice a term and happens in the Students' Union building. People turn up, they just drop in, like, it's like a pot of pee for guys or a salt swab for women, and then they think they also take a bit of blood because they test, because they do, like, a quite comprehensive range of testing. And, like, that's proved to be really popular with students. And there was a bit of talk the first time it was set up, because it was advertised through Facebook, and there was, like, a Facebook group, and people, there were debates about, like, whether it should be a private group so you could see who was attending and all this kind of stuff. But, like, it was quite good in the responses that people were getting from students, and that people, like, most people were saying, like, this isn't something we should be ashamed about. Like, people should be proud of getting tested. It's a good thing. It's like getting a health checkup. Like, it makes sense to do. It's not an actively bad idea. It's a, like, you should be advertising the fact that you're doing it. Everybody should be doing it. People, and what I really liked is, like, people had, like, kitchen outings and house outings where they all came down as a house to get tested and all this kind of stuff.
That's really great.
And I thought that was, like, I thought that was really nice. And, like, that's been really successful, and it's been going really well. We also started doing this year, some of the medical students at our university do chlamydia testing in the toilets in bars and clubs out in Coventry, but they'd never really done it here at the uni, which had always seemed very strange. So what started now, they did it, they've done it three times a term, is they come into one of our, like, our Monday night, one of our bigger events, and they just do testing. They just stand in the toilets. They stand there and they test people.
Yeah.
Like, they're trained to do it. And it's gone really well. They've got around 300 people tested just from doing that this term. So they're going to come back, and this is going to become a regular thing. They're going to come three times a term. So to not oversaturate it.
Yeah.
But do this kind of stuff. But, like, as far as things like condom distribution and all those kind of things, I think it's less good than, it's less well done than it seems to be done in Concordia. We have, condoms are available from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. in a place called the Nightline Block, which is like a service run by the Samaritans.
Okay.
It's like a phone up kind of.
A listening service.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
It's non-prescriptive. You just talk
okay.
to, but they have condoms throughout the night time if you need them.
Right.
I'm in talks with the accommodation people to get there to be condom machines put in all of the accommodation blocks, which there aren't currently.
Mm.
Which would be like, there's ones which you can get now. They're like, they're not free, but it's like that costs condoms, so it's 20p
mm-hmm.
for three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's an entirely reasonable price
right,
for strangers
right.
to pay.
Reasonable.
And also, what we used to have is a thing called, we had one of our outlets was called South Central, which is Los Angeles. We had a thing called Safe Central, which was there at night time, which was a general personal safety thing. Like, it had bus times, taxi numbers, and like that kind of useful
condoms,
yeah,
bottom
and, yeah,
tops,
useful
you know,
information.
Yeah.
What it also had was like a big pot of condoms,
okay.
and that generally got, and that's not happened because we've been going through, as you probably hear outside, a rebuild of our building. But come the start of like the next term, so in January, we're going to have a similar kind of stall again, which is going to have condoms, which will be there on the Monday night nights out. So that'll be another way of getting condoms out. And what's been good this year is that a lot more of our student societies have been, because I've made all student societies aware that if they need condoms, like if they're running any events where they think condoms would be a good idea, then they can come and get them from me, because I have quite a stash of them. We gave out over 6,000 over the freshers period, by putting them in the bags that people were given and all this kind of stuff. And then I've had lots of societies coming to me, like one seemed like a very fun society, the Erasmus Society, running a trip to Edinburgh for 2 days, and they said, we're going to need about 150 condoms. I was like, wow, you know,
yeah,
you're planning quite a good time.
I'll join. It sounds fun. But there's not really like a proper institutionalized like distribution channel.
Mm.
Like there isn't a lot of places. And I really like the sounds of the thing you have. And it's just basically just a big pot that's manned all the time. It's just there, just in plain sight that people can take. And I really like that idea, and I think it's something that we could, like, that we have, like, tried to do before, but we always have problems with the manpower of actually manning it.
Yes, and they have as well had that problem. Mm. I've passed by several times where the booth was empty and there's no one there, just because they couldn't put anyone on the schedule for sitting there for periods of time. I mean, the staff are extraordinarily busy, so there's no way that they can do it, so they rely on volunteers to do it all, which is a lot. But a lot of the students who do it really enjoy it. I mean, they just sit there and they do their reading. So they're in the lounge area anyway, so they just sit there and read and at least refer them. There's all kinds of literature there, so they can refer them to resources that are available if anyone has questions. And they go through a period of training so that they have some basic information and know how to talk to people about these kinds of things. And I think that sort of constant physical presence is really good because it normalizes the presence of the condom. There, at one point, when a student really wanted to have like fish bowls full of condoms at every like desk of the bureaucracy of school. So like, if you had to go to financial aid to talk about a bursary, there'd be a pot of condoms. If you had to go somewhere to talk about like to organize a meeting at a room and you needed to book a room, there'd be a bowl of condoms at that office. You know, so that it wouldn't seem that it was just so local around health, only that health was, you know, physically just everywhere around you. But that didn't really go over too well, because actually, as it turned out, it was more of an obstacle. You would have to get approval from each one of those offices to allow that to happen, and there's hundreds of them, so it became quite sort of
Of like the kind of stigma of like going to the finance and be like, oh yes, I'll take some of those as well for later kind of thing, you know, because it's admitting that you're going to have sex, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Well, some of the really strange things is we had a stall over the arrivals weekend for the freshers, and because I was sorting out what was going on the stall, there was a big pot of condoms. It was one of the central things on our table. And it's really weird seeing like the different interactions between students and their parents, because they're generally going around with their parents,
okay.
people have just moved to university. Some people, they'll see the pot of condoms, and they'll furtively kind of move their parents on so they don't see them. And then on the other side of things, we had a mother come up, and she said, she's a mother with her daughter, and she said, "Oh, you'll need some of these." Picked up like 10 and put them in the daughter's bag. And the daughter looked mortified.
Yeah.
The mom's like, "It's good to be safe." So,
God, that's my mother.
Yeah, so people, it's very different.
All different.
Like, I guess it just, it's really a great way of emphasising, the different ways in which culture and upbringing
mm-hmm.
can have on your views on sexual health and
mm-hmm.
stuff. Because, it is entirely possible for it just to not be a taboo. It's just
mm-hmm.
something that you do. Like, it's not unfeasible. It's
right.
just not something that people are generally willing to do. It's
right.
something people shy away from as an issue.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Are there any serious problems around trying to do this kind of work on campus? I mean, do you find it, at least I should say administratively, it's open, or do they put up barriers, or do they imply that certain things shouldn't happen?
Well, I don't know. I was expecting, for example, I had a meeting with some of the accommodation people, and I was expecting a lot more resistance when I suggested that we have at least one condom machine per block of accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
And the accommodation manager for the university said, that sounds like quite a good idea. There's always a disabled toilet, an external disabled toilet in each block. You could put it in there. I was just yeah, that's an even better idea than what I had. I like this.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened yet, because this was just a meeting we had a few weeks
okay.
ago. And
right,
obviously,
right.
you need to get approved, and they need to have the money to install the
right,
machines
right.
and all this kind of stuff. But they weren't against the idea in principle, which I was expecting I was going to have to convince them.
Mm.
And they thought it was a great idea.
Mm.
That's kind of a general theme with a lot of the university staff that I've encountered so far, is when I've been talking about this kind of thing, they've all been really for it.
Mm.
Everyone's thought it's been a great idea in all the things that we've done.
That's,
so
that's really fortunate.
I'll be honest, I was very surprised.
Mm.
I was expecting there to be
more of a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about from students? Are there any individual students or student organizations that are really against this kind of activity? Or have they been vocal and said, this is really something that shouldn't happen?
There hasn't really been much vocalized opposition. People, I think maybe because it's always very cautious. When we never really do any events which are basically giving people condoms, directly,
mm.
as in
mm.
have a condom
have
to
a
person.
Right.
We may give it to
right.
them in a bag of something else.
Yeah.
We may have a pot for them to freely take.
Absolutely.
But because of a lot of people's fears of how students may adversely react
mm.
to having condoms and sexual health materials forced on them, it isn't something that we generally do here, so we don't generally have a problem with it.
Mm.
There are some, a lot of international students do, have said, well, not a lot, but some international students have said, is this really the kind of thing that you should be devoting your time to?
Mm.
As it, and then, given that our response is always yes,
mm.
then they've really kicked up a fuss past that.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not really a high level
mm.
and the thing, but that may be due to, the distribution things, distribution networks. And
mm.
one thing that, isn't done so well with regards to our health centre is sexual health advice and materials for the queer community is for example one of the phrase that one of the doctors uttered last year when a lesbian student went to them and was inquiring about sexual health stuff is you shouldn't be worried about it, you're a lesbian, it's not an issue for you.
Right.
Which is quite a worrying response from a doctor, given
yeah.
that, it is. We have been talking, we've been talking to the health centre, myself and Lev Taylor, who's the president of Warwick Pride,
mm.
the queer campaigning and welfare group. We're going to have a meeting with the head of the health centre, I think next week,
good.
To go over different ways in which the health centre, not just around sexual health, but around lots of other things,
right.
can make sure it is as inclusive as it can be.
Mm.
For example, we always give out condoms. No one ever gives out dental dams,
yeah.
as an example.
Right. Or what about gloves or
yeah, exactly.
finger condoms?
It is it's just condoms. And
yeah,
that
and
like
it's no lubricant
sexual,
as well? Is it simply condoms?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Like, there's, like, the, you know, the sachets of lube which you're
right.
getting it out.
Right.
But, again, not often. Like, when people talk about sexual health materials here, in their head, they're thinking about condoms. They're not thinking about sexual health materials.
Right.
For example.
Right.
Yeah, like,
right.
things like lube, dental
yeah.
dams, condoms.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we do are have these little plastic bags with a condom, a tube of lube, a little foil
mm.
tube, and then the sheet of paper that demonstrates visually and textually how to properly put on
yeah.
the condom. There's it's really, really difficult to find just the condom itself. It's always in this plastic bag with the lubricant because, I mean, the proper sexual health material always says use lubricant. You know, but, you know, if there's none available, then, you know, lubricated condoms are better than nothing else. But there was a strategic choice made, and I think it was all of Quebec, that any kind of distribution of condoms to any at-risk population needed to include the instruction guide, at least, you know, the proper way, and lubricant, because it was seen as absolutely crucial to help reduce the risk of friction and tears. And so it becomes really vital that, because if there's a tear in the condom, a small tear, and if there's a lot of dry sex or friction there, then you're really sort of defeating the purpose of even having it.
Yeah.
So the lubricant really reduces a lot of that opportunity there. And really makes the point that lubricant is really important in all kinds of sexual activities as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's distributed is female condoms, dental dams, and gloves, and finger condoms, which is always quite fun because people say, well, why are the gloves here? Which opens the opportunity
yeah.
for some education, right? So it's like, well, you can use this for when you're doing these kinds of activities and this, and people sort of look at you like, oh, I didn't really need to know
that glazed
but
look.
Yes, it's a little frightening. But it's amazing, even amongst our queer and our trans students, there's that sort of like, okay, I didn't know about that. I think there's this popular assumption that the queer students are more educated than anyone
mm.
else, which is in general true, but not always about sexual health.
And not even and just being more educated doesn't necessarily mean educated enough.
Exactly.
They may be slightly
exactly.
more aware, like they may be slightly better, for example, at using condoms.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they're like really necessarily more aware.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
They're just more aware of the fact that they should know about.
That they should know.
Just not that they do.
Mm. In Coventry, are there organizations and community groups or anything like that around sexual health? And have there been partnerships between the university?
There's quite a few. There's, for example, there's groups like the NHS, which runs our health centre on campus, also funds the medical students that do the chlamydia testing in our toilets because like they have various targets and things that they're aiming for, and one of them is a very high target of the population of Coventry which they want to get tested and for chlamydia specifically because that's a very big problem around the area is when they do testing in Coventry for chlamydia that like what they term their hit rate, the amount of people actually have chlamydia, is generally half or just over. Which is
it's really bizarre because
that's a problem.
Chlamydia is really just that's so bizarre because chlamydia is one of those that's just really just barely on the radar screen because it's just the infection rates are just tend to be quite low. So when I was telling Frank, I was like looking at the literature and it's all this about chlamydia, and I can't possibly be true that this is so high. And so I'm really it'd be interesting to find some research from NHS understanding the reasons why.
Chlamydia is relatively high in England. I've never really heard about it much anywhere else. It's always in England where chlamydia is a bigger problem.
Well, my question would be, is it really? And then to be able to look at the research and so to see if there's facts and evidence that back that up. And if there's any research epidemiologically into some of the social and cultural factors that might be going on. So I think it's important not to just assume that they're right because they're the NHS, but you know, always to ask is that really what's going on? And if it is going on, why it's going on? Because it's like in France and Germany, it's almost nil.
Yeah.
So there, I don't know if chlamydia just can't swim across the channel or what's going on. You know, it'd be an interesting thing to research to sort of find out why.
I think the hit rates, like, given that they solely do testing of high risk groups, so that is obviously going to skew the figures a bit. But I think it is like, chlamydia has started to become more of a, like, it's been kind of advancing as a problem until recently, where, like, now it is, like, one of the main things that people test for. It's one of the most popular things to get tested for, I think, around the area. I mean, in terms of from talking to the people that run the testing centres, mainly because it's symptomless, so it's something that people worry about more. Because people think with other things.
It's my
like, it's the general thing of, I think I'm fine. Like, everything looks fine downstairs. It's probably not an issue. Which doesn't really work when you get to things like chlamydia. So I think there's, like, that kind of deep-seated worry about that. But in terms of going back to, like, talking about partnerships and things, like, there's them. And there's some charities, for example, like Terence Higgins Trust, which does a lot of work around sexual health. A lot with the queer community, but not solely. And they're quite useful. For example, they supplied us with a lot of condoms because we couldn't really afford to buy them. So they gave us, like, just over 1,000 condoms for free. Just like, you go, enjoy it. And there's also groups, for example, groups, I'm talking like advisory groups set up, which include people from the council, people from the health service, people from the queer community, people from, like, lots of different, like, stakeholders is the word that they use, but I really don't like it as a word. Which gets together once every 2 months to discuss things. And there's different groups like that, and a lot of the students are quite heavily involved with those groups. But there's not much direct links with them back onto the work that is done on campus, which is something that could really be explored.
I think it could be, because, I mean, in the areas of prevention and information, they're often some of the best people with some of the most interesting ideas and a lot of experience under their belt, pun intended. So it could be helpful, like, when you sort of sit around and struggle with, well, what can we do on campus and how can we make what we're doing more effective and reaching out, it might be interesting to ask those people, and maybe they could come and talk to on campus, and they could have, you know, presentations on campus, because that's what they do for a living, that's their job, that's how they've, you know, done so much of their activism, is through developing new prevention strategies, talking about how we can make what we're doing effective, how do we reach people, how do we reach certain groups like that. So they're almost always full with ideas. I don't know these groups, so I may be speaking out of my ass about them, but my general experience with community organization groups like that, that do prevention and education, they are quite amazing in techniques and strategies. So it might be interesting if students who are interested in continuing to organize these kinds of things, you know, could maybe go and do some volunteer workshops or training workshops with these organizations.
I mean, didn't Terence Higgins Trust come in last week and do like a campaigning workshop
That's
as part of Pride Week?
Yeah, they came. They came on for two separate things.